It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day.
Sports Radio 550.
Gonna be there in an hour.
Wednesday? Really?
Yeah, here we are.
That can't be a good sign that I'm not even sure what day it is right now.
The Open says it all.
The Open says it's hump day. There's nothing about Wednesday.
Well, come on now. We all know what...
I think it feels more like Thursday than Tuesday.
We all know what hump day is. I don't know. I can't really...
What's the difference? How do you decide that?
Yeah, I'm not really having any confusion about it at all. Maybe the fact that I was on vacation coming in, so it wasn't like I got an extra day off Monday. I mean, I did, but it was... I'd been off already for a week. If you leave here Friday... And then get Monday off. I think that can prompt the, what day is it again? But coming in off vacation, I mean, I've been taking that week off as long as we've been working together, I feel like almost. I feel like I'm always off the last week of August leading into Labor Day. So it's not, I'm used to my point
There's
of entry
no hump.
Being, no, that's right. I don't need a hump. I don't even need the Open. No offense, Zach. I'm good. I'm aware. There's a football game tomorrow. That's how I know it's Wednesday.
Is there Maction?
Good question. UB doesn't play till Saturday night. They're at Missouri.
Yeah.
Right?
GL.
There is not Maction yet this week.
No,
first
game
will not be until Friday night.
All right.
Friday?
What are we doing?
How does anybody know what day it is?
Let's go.
A leadership council.
Sure. And they've had that even though they've had, I don't know, four times as many captains other times. I feel like they've had, didn't they have like eight captains or something last year?
I want to float a balloon.
Okay.
Yeah, it's less that there's a, quote, leadership council that's interesting because, okay, that wasn't even the first way he described it, leadership group.
Yeah.
And then I think he wanted to call it a council. This could be one of those few minutes where I really want to dig into the words and the inflection.
Mm-hmm.
Leadership group, leadership council.
This should end well, everyone.
Like, okay, Survivor. So there's a leadership council. But there are two captains. All I've been seeing for like the last week in the NFL is these social media posts from teams where there's like eight captains.
Right.
People are joking about the Bears. Why Pat Daugherty's like, why not just name who aren't the captains? It's like they named everybody but Jay Cutler.
Yeah, right.
So
there was a lot of that going around this week. And that's how I was reminded that I think the Bills themselves had eight captains last year.
Okay. Let me just say here, I couldn't care less how many captains you have. I mean, it's never mattered to me one time
I would
for
care.
How good your team is.
Sure.
or how well your team played. Has anybody ever called WGR with, guys, they don't have enough captains, or they have too many captains, or they have the wrong captains?
I don't think so.
No one cares.
I don't think that's ever happened.
No one cares out loud.
Yeah.
Who the captains, how many captains, what the captains, the captains, the captains. You have two, and you have a leadership group slash council. So I would say some of our better conversations over the summer, you know, trying to figure out how we got here, why everything that happened happened, Diggs, and there not being another sort of alpha move at that position, and the losses, you know, the veterans. And it's your voice in my head. Like, look, they knew they had this is just a theory of yours that made sense. They knew they had cap challenges. They knew they wanted to divest of Diggs. They knew they were old. You know what? Maybe we can win, but this year is that year.
Let's just go in hard and do all the heavy lifting right now.
We back up. Like, we know this has to happen. It worked for Kansas City. You know, you go to the bar, you have a couple of pops, and like, well, it worked for Kansas City. You know, and I don't mean to be flippant, but, you know, I've wondered all summer just what Brandon Bean and I guess Sean McDermott think of what they have. Because you're not going to get it from what they say.
No, they're not going to tell you we're stepping back.
So I've always wondered this year, like, I would really love to know what Bean thinks he has. These certain moves happened, and here we are going to week one with two captains and a leadership council, which, who knows? Maybe it's great. What it reads like, I think, is another, you know, morsel of evidence that it's transition time. We don't have all these veteran leaders that we did have. So let's try to grow like a JV leadership team.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have Allen, we'll have Bernard. We've got the captain of the offense, we've got the captain of the defense, the green dot quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
After that, everybody else is equal. We'll try to grow leadership. It's a
sensible approach.
It's like what a young team would do. It's what a rebuilding team might do. Is, you know, just in this one category, mm-hmm. let's just see who emerges rather than anoint guys who are like maybe mid-level. You know, Rousseau, Oliver, Dawkins. Those are not mid-level players, but they're just sort of
Those are guys who I would have been surprised to see listed as captains if they had had 5, 6, 7, or 8 like they have in other years. And I would expect those players to absolutely be a part of the leadership council. Like, Dawkins is the first guy I thought of for that. Like, of course he was here before Allen.
He's not a captain because we want it a certain way.
Right.
We want the quarterback and the green dot. And then we have a sort of a side leadership team captains
group. I think maybe the whole thing is an effort to create the impression or genuinely... Alec has created the impression, sounds like they're trying to trick you or something, or trick the team, really. It's not so much us. But I feel like there is and has been this year, not just like, oh, it's new vibes, oh, we're playing Catan in the dorms and like whatever, that everyone's together in a way that they weren't last year because of Stephon Diggs. It's the part that never gets said out loud. And I feel like that all of it, to me, is an effort to... push Josh Allen maybe to elevate his voice and his leadership and be maybe a little less of the guy everybody loves and just like take absolute control. Like, this is my team and let's go. And instead of being, you know, it's fun. He's got all the handshakes and all the stuff and the players love him. I don't have any question about that. But the team, the organization, the entire franchise might want something subtly different than that from him. Not to be so beloved and more just like, I'm in charge. Like, I'm the leader of this group. And him being the single offensive captain, I can maybe represents that.
I don't know. That's an interesting theory. And it could be right. I look at it more, you know, if between us, if the Bills didn't really care how much of a leader Josh Allen is, I wouldn't really mind. Like, I mean, make plays, go be the MVP. And if you're not like 10 out of 10 in leadership qualities, then I'm going to have to live with it. Like, really, what I want from you is touchdowns. So if they did look at it your way, and I wouldn't be surprised because there's so much of McDermott's image,
mm-hmm.
is leadership stuff, culture stuff. That's dangerous, though. You might be in need because you've lost these veterans and you have whatever sort of issue you might have with Allen in some way. So you might want to try to rework that. But it's risky because you already have one of the best players in the NFL who's paid like it, and every bit of your chances ride on him. So be careful if you're trying to get him to be different.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't really love that if the Bills were trying to push him in a certain way. Maybe it's all good. I don't know. A lot of this is going to be guesswork. What I think, maybe that's right. I'm not signing for it yet. What I think you've got here, though, team-wise, is a reboot. And the roster stuff, the offseason has felt like that. You're not trading Allen or anything. Like, you still have him, and everybody knows he gives you a real chance of winning. But, you know, they didn't replace Diggs exactly. And cap stuff, dead cap money, all the different sort of hindrances there have been and changes there have been all kind of point to taking a step back. And so does this a little bit, where you're trying to reshape, you're trying to birth a new core, really. I wouldn't want to write that in a column, but that's how it came out. You're trying to birth a new core of Bills, you know, leadership-wise, and this is how you might do it, is just, you know what? We've got other veterans that are qualified to be captains, but it's better maybe if they're over with the young kids and they can help shape that for the future. It's just another maybe subtle, maybe made up. I'm not trying to make something up,
yeah, no,
but
because
it makes sense to me.
Right.
Just a reason to think the vision is beyond this year. If you get it, you get it.
Yeah.
And they probably will be good. But a lot of what has happened and has been said kind of indicates, well, you can't be peak every year. And this is what happens sometimes, and we're going to try to act accordingly in other ways.
I would not be at all surprised if privately Bean and McDermott and, you know, anyone else that matters to this, but, you know, they're the guys at the top of the organizational football depth chart. So I won't bother naming other coaches who also could share the same opinion. I wonder if privately their conversations or their thoughts when they're thinking about this team, I wouldn't be surprised if it sounds a lot like how we have sounded all summer. Because I don't know how they could really know what they've got. There's so much new here. You know, start at the receiver core and go from there, or start at the back end of the defense and go from there, however you want to do it. There are key departures, which means there are important people in new places, and that is, you know, playing at a high level and also the leadership and the culture and all this stuff. And I just don't, there's so many guys and so much new that it would not surprise. I'm not saying this to like compliment the tone of our show from, you know, whatever, February through now or anything at all like that. I just think it would be hard to really know. Other years here, Bean and McDermott, sure, they would have been, you know, concerned about guys coming back from injury and what kind of contribution they're going to get from this guy another year older, whatever that is. But you've got a pretty locked-in, stable leadership group, captains, and performers the last 4 years here. And a lot of that is new. And I just don't know, aside from the requisite confidence in the guys, next man up, all that sort of stuff, that the talk that you hear publicly, I mean, I just don't know. Maybe they feel that way every year because every year is new and you just don't know what you have, but they've just got a lot of new parts. And I just think you don't really know how they're going to react to your coaching, how they're going to react to adversity within games, how they're going to react to adversity within seasons or success, even for that matter. Like, you know, it's just, there's a lot of new here. And so I think it would make sense to me anyway if they are just a little less sure than they have been. And that's kind of how I feel. Like, I still think they'll probably be good. I would pick them to win the – I've picked them in two different parlays to win their division.
Ooh.
But I'm not as confident as I was last year or the year before or even the year before that.
You know, I want to hear more about those parlays because it's you're getting a better price than you're used to.
Sure.
You don't like picking only favorites, and they're not a favorite in the division at the moment.
As it turns out, right?
Did you know that they are the team in the NFL whose Super Bowl odds by percentages have gone up the most since the lines open?
I did not know that, no. That's interesting.
Yep.
But gone up, you mean like they've
plus 1,000 to plus 1,600.
Okay, more of an underdog. Okay, yeah, sorry. I thought of it the other way, and I thought, like, that's weird.
By percentage.
This isn't weird.
You would have gotten 10 to 1, according to Robbie. Quote Robbie.
Who's this now?
NFELOAPP.com. NFELO app.
Is he a part of our leadership council?
Listen, you're going to make fun of that all day.
I'm making fun.
10 to 1 when the lines opened and 16 to 1 now. No team by percentage, their odds have jumped more.
Where do they land within the league? Are they still in the same spot? Like, have the odds changed for other teams as well? Like,
sure.
I think they were like the sixth favorite, I think, or fifth or sixth, I think, when it began, but I don't have this memorized. I'm guessing you don't have it memorized either.
No.
But I wonder if they're still sort of in the same neighborhood.
I mean, it's the same neighborhood, but they're not going to be any closer to the top than they were when it started. It's just, again, just what people are predicting. Do you know which team's odds have come down by percentage the most?
The Jets.
The Chiefs.
Okay. I'm glad. I'm relieved it's not the Jets.
The Jets are on the top five. So is Pittsburgh.
Yeah. The Jets have better odds than the Bills.
Oh, yeah. Pittsburgh is also in the top five.
I'm sorry. What's this now?
Chiefs, according to MGM, this is not according to Robbie. Chiefs 5-1, Niners 6-1, Ravens 10, Lions, Eagles 12, Bengals 13, Bills, Packers, Texans 16. Here though, is the... the thing I say every time when I feel like I sound or we sound sort of gloomy about all this is just get in and then win. I mean, they've been great and they've lost. And I choose to, well, it's not so much a choice as it is my feelings that I don't think there's really anything wrong with them that means they can't win in the playoffs. I think they haven't won in the playoffs. I know that. But I don't think there's some trait that necessitates that they still possess. So be good enough to get in and then win those games. I don't mind them on the road. They've been great on the road. They played better on the road in the playoffs than here.
Is this really just the 13 seconds game?
They were great that day. That's really it, isn't it? Because they haven't had any other games.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's the only
thing
you got.
They had two home games.
They lost to Houston on the road in the playoffs.
That's right.
Lost to Jacksonville on the road in the playoffs.
That's 13 seconds.
So 13 seconds is it.
Okay, well, it's close anyway.
It's not a big sample.
It's one game and it's close. They were not good against the Bengals. And, you know, they were okay against the Chiefs last year, but not clearly better than they were the other game.
They had a perfect game against New England.
That's right, too. Well, all right, let me just recoil. Let me just sort of bounce back against the ropes.
Why don't you call a meeting with your leadership council and see if we can sort this out.
I know one thing. We don't have a leadership council of our own. I know that. 803-0550 is the number. You know, it's just another thing that could kind of help convince you that it's transition time over there. We win. What does it matter? You know... It doesn't really matter. For me, this is, and it's not that much, but it's just sort of an indicator. It's not something that defines what happens. It's not even, I don't even really feel like it's a bad idea. I feel like maybe it's a good idea. It makes sense.
I do too. Generally, like I saw all the people joking about the eight captains, you know, yesterday or the day before, as I was, you know, easing out of vacation mode, and then realized, like, I think the Bills had that many last year, so I don't know, this isn't that funny. We're part of the joke, or the Bills have been part of that joke. And so, but two sounds like a more, that sounds like those are the guys, instead of everyone, hey, come on, let's all go to Cone King, because we're all great, everyone's wonderful, and like, your voice, you get a car, and you get a car. All right, just give me a couple dudes and we're good to go. I don't need, you know, double digit captains. I don't need, you know, 20% of my roster wearing captains logos.
But as we already sort of near the point of analyzing this enough or too much, I doubt that Sean McDermott woke up one day this offseason and said, "You know what? We have too many captains. I want fewer captains." You know, like just that in and of itself. I don't want too many leaders. Come on. What NFL coach says that? That's why these other guys are all doing that. Eberflus and D'Amico Ryans. Like, they all have to have everybody who's qualified gets to be a captain. Maybe it's every position group. Maybe it's everybody of a certain tenure. Diggs in Houston qualifies. He's, you know, whatever his status is in the league. Coaches, McDermott has been like that. Coaches like to do that. They like to, you've got 53 men on the field. You want to have... What's the perfect number? There's no perfect number. Half a dozen guys that run out for the coin toss and have whatever leadership stature within the organization. You really think he just went like, no, that's not working? I don't think he's thinking that. I think he's thinking, I've got a new situation here. Mm-hmm. I don't have as many guys that are obvious for that. And instead of just, you know, necessarily elevating other people, I want to start a new core. I want to start, you know.
Don't run away from that phrasing.
Not yet.
That phrasing works.
I went back to it. I'm thinking to the future. And so maybe that's what this is mostly.
It makes sense.
I think it does. What's the single best thing you could get from this game other than a win? For all the different individual topics, you know, separate things we've woven into the tapestry of this conversation over the last 7 months, what's the single best thing you could get? They win, that's obvious. Win or lose, this happens, and you're encouraged. 803-0550 is the number. Think about that. Let us know if you have an answer. 803-0550, again, is the number. I know I just said it. Sal Capaccio coming up at 4. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.
You know, it's one thing to come back off of an ACL or a broken bone. It's another thing to come back off of what he came back off of, right? Let alone just to decide to play football and contact football, right, in full pads at the NFL level. I don't think I need to say anything more. I mean, it's incredible. I think God's hand's been on DeMar and his family and will continue to be. And we're just extremely proud and full of gratitude to watch him go through what he's went through and where he is.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's now.
Damar Hamlin is listed as the starter at safety week one, Bills and Cardinals Sunday at 1. Bills favored by 6, total of 48. Name the three wide receiver starters, starting wide receivers on the Cardinals official depth chart.
Okay. There's the new guy. Marvin Harrison Jr.
Wrong.
What?
Wrong. He's listed as a backup.
He is not. I looked at their depth chart this morning.
He's listed behind Greg Dortch. What did I look at?
I don't know. Something that's unofficial.
I saw something
on Twitter that said, here's how the Cardinals will come in, and Harrison was the first name at the top, just like Mac Hollins is the first name on the Bills' depth chart, wide receiver.
Okay, I guess mine, as of yesterday, I got to talk to Mark Dalton. Mine was unofficial, and then, okay, you're right.
So Marvin Harrison Jr., Dortch,
yep.
And is there somebody named Wilson?
Yes, Michael Wilson.
Okay. Good. I retained something from 9 o'clock this morning. Yay, me.
The one I looked at had Zach Pascal ahead of, Dortch ahead of Harrison, and then Zach Pascal ahead of, in the third spot there.
Well, I'm glad we got that sorted out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy I brought it up with you. You were nice about it. You bring that up to the wrong person. And they could give you a terrible time for being wrong.
Imagine a day that I'm off and you're in here ripping, as our show is wont to do, just tearing apart the Cardinals because they've got this absurd depth chart that lists the fourth overall pick in the draft behind your name here. And like, what are we even doing here? Stupid Cardinals, I can't. And it was all wrong. that would have been a moment. Not that you would ever make
it. I think it would have been fine to play that out a little bit. 803-0550. Let me see what I just said. What's the single best thing you could get from this game that isn't a win? Something outside of that. Like all the different things we've been talking about this summer. Is there one particular thing that would be the most encouraging?
I wanted to ask you if we could have a tie, but I don't need to break a tie. I can choose for myself. I feel like even though I don't think it's as realistic, Keon Coleman going like 6 for 115 and a score would really go a long way, I think. Because, you know, what have we talked about all spring and summer? We don't know really what we've got here. We're not even really sure what they've got in Coleman himself. How much is he going to play? How ready is he? You know, you hear a lot of, like, even McDermott, he's a rookie, and he's made nice catches, but we need, like, down in, down out, and that kind of stuff. So, I don't know. I'm sort of on, I don't want to say edge about Coleman, but I'm really curious. And if that just popped right away out of the wrapper, that would be really great. The other thought was Kincaid. Because that I think that's way more realistic for him to have basically that stat line that I just said for Coleman. I feel like Kincaid, that would be encouraging because I'm sort of expecting that from him this year. Whereas Coleman, it would be just oh my gosh! Like I think I can count on Kincaid. I'm pretty sure of that. I think I can count to an extent on Shakir. But if I get Coleman like that, I feel like that's the score to beat.
That is fine. I think that is almost, for me, outside the realm of possibility. I would ask you if you got three catches from Coleman for okay yards, and one is a 8-yard, you know, back shoulder, front pylon touchdown catch. That's a good day.
It's fine.
I think.
Yeah, it'd be fine.
Because red zone is where I think Coleman has the best chance of really helping them. And or where they need him the most. And that's Kincaid, too. I mean, Kincaid has to be more than that, but I don't know if it can be said that Coleman does as a rookie. But red zone is where they've given up a lot of their targets. And those two guys, I mean, you really want Coleman to be able to do that. If he can do that as a rookie, if he can't, it's almost a problem. Like, that's where you want to have his body and his skills, you know, win for you. And the Bills don't really have, I mean, rank their weapons in terms of the red zone, other than Allen running over linebackers. It's not their running backs. Yeah. It's not Davis yet. It's definitely not Cook. It's not Shakir or, I mean, Shakir has done a couple things, but I think it's really, unless it's gadgety, it needs to be Kincaid or Coleman. Then you get to Knox, who's had his successes in the red zone. 803-0550, the number. The thing you want to see outside of winning the game, something encouraging that would mean it would make you feel good about this game Sunday. Here's Mike with us. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
It's funny you mentioned Cam Coleman because that was why I called. I'm a little more on the Mike Schultz side. I don't have to have him go off, but just give me the indication that this guy can get it done, especially in the end zone, you know? And, and furthermore, just based off of last year and stuff, like, just show me you can get it done in the red zone, period. Like, I need to see more in the red zone. Like, how many failed drives was there? How many times, you know, did we go through that where we got down there and nothing? So, like, that's really all I'm looking for, man. I want to see him clean up that red zone work, and I'll hang up and listen.
Okay. Good. I mean, it's a good place to start. The thing I'm and I did say, by the way, when I said 6 for 115 and a score, like, I don't know. It's not that realistic, probably. That's why I would love to see it so much. It'd be, like, almost shocking. Like, wow, look at that day from the rookie receiver. The thing I'm worried about Coleman in the red zone with is, like, if it starts slow, and, you know, even on Sunday, right, and he's getting a snap here, a snap there, but they get in the red zone, and it's, okay, back shoulder fade at the pylon time, like, that can work, all right? I mean, I know that is a play that has some success, but to me, it is not. How they use him down there is something I will be playing, I think a lot of fans will be paying a lot of attention to, because there's a difference to me between scheming things open and just saying, I'm going to toss it to you over there and hopefully it's on target enough for you to make a great athletic play.
Right.
Like, that's it's not quite buying a lottery ticket, but it's some version of that. I mean, it's just less of a sure thing. I mean, I don't know. What is a sure thing, right? I mean, scheming guys open can be complicated. Sometimes defenders don't end up where you think they're going to end up, and that can mess everything up. I get that. There's no 100% money-back guarantee in any play, let alone red zone offensive football plays. But I just feel like the back shoulder throw is, I don't have a better idea, and I want to have a better idea than that. I'm not saying don't ever do it, but I don't want that to be like the go-to, oh, let's get Coleman on the field. It's second and goal at the 5. Because we're going to do that. I mean, I just don't want an overdose of that.
Let's remember to keep a close eye on that. Because, like, what is the knock on him? Separation. So I'm 3rd and goal at the 7-yard line. I'm a little bit outside of Allen just takes off and walks in territory. And, you know, I'm thinking a touchdown on this play. You hear about separation, you know, maybe some timing issues with Coleman. If you want to run a slant with him or some sort of more intricate route, maybe you're not so confident that he does that for you. But something, if you will, simple like that. And so if they do that, that might tell us something about where they're at. And maybe it'll work because he's good at that stuff.
Yep.
But that they don't want, like, really, that's something we should really watch on Sunday. On red zone plays is, like, how often is he on the field and is he running routes and what are the routes? Like, what is he doing on Sunday in close? That could be really telling. I like it. Thanks, Mike. Here's Steve next. Hi, Steve.
Hey, guys. I was looking to hopefully have Tyler Bass have a clean game, and that means, you know, make something from 55 or 54 just to get his confidence back and for the offense to, on 2nd and 3, you know, show that you're willing to pass it and not just everybody fall forward and, you know, reset back to first down.
You know, Bass continues to be a topic, and I'll tell Steve or anybody else, maybe you do somehow. I have no idea if he's confident. If he misses, that doesn't mean he isn't confident. You know, just, we don't know that. So he missed 4 field goals last year. It's about what he's missed every year, you know, 2 to 4 field goals a year. You did have the playoffs, and that's not, I'm not trying to ignore that. That's bigger. But,
and that was really rocky, right? There was a couple of missed kicks in the Pittsburgh game.
Right. And then the end of the game.
Yeah.
So he might We've talked about it a lot. He might have confidence issues, but just because he misses doesn't mean he does.
I'm definitely paying more attention to that. I mean, whatever. You always pay attention to every play, and those are scoring plays. So, you know, there's going to be an eye on it. I'm less inclined to blow it off the way that I maybe would other years. You know, whatever, they'll go find a different kicker. Because there's a commitment there already. Like, every dollar matters now. And if they were to get into the season and it starts the way it kind of went in the summer and the way last season ended even, right? There's a missed kick here, you know, whatever. And they feel they got to do something. They're eating a bunch of dead money this year, a bunch more. Not, you know, it's not Stephon Diggs $31 million, but it's, you know, it's a couple of million bucks each year. And then you're in the weeds, because then you're just out there looking for kickers. And like, that can work out okay. Like, there was that year where they bring in Carpenter midstream or something, and it worked out okay. Like, you can get, you know, lucky that way. You can also just start churning through guys. Going to bring this guy in. He's our kicker. Oh, okay. A few weeks went by. And you're just trying. The bigger issue to me is the commitment they've already made to Bass. I mean, he's a healthy kicker contract, and it's only the first year of that extension, and it's a 4-year extension. So it's not nothing to just, you know, assembly line him out of here.
That'll be interesting if he misses a few early.
Yeah.
Because they'll have to make that decision. 4 to 5.3 million per year dead cap through 2027, Bass, if he were to be released. It's not pretty. You know, by the way, I wanted to mention this when you were talking after the first caller here, but I didn't. This is not the first time you've heard a reference to the Bills and like the red zone efficiency. You know where they ranked last year in touchdown conversions inside the 20? Sixth. It's not like they were a team that had a particular problem at that. I think it's one where it always seems like you do if you have a game where twice you're first and goal and you kick field goals, maybe that's just an easy one for people to sort of like, oh, well, we've got this problem. But they were sixth in the NFL.
Overall, that's good. I feel like earlier this summer, Warren Sharp had a breakdown of first and goal, like a different something within, you know, a smaller sample inside, you know, further inside the red zone, like goal to go. Their conversion rate on goal to go maybe was really low.
Okay.
I think maybe, and that's what maybe the caller could be thinking of, because I have that in my head. I don't have it. I think I have it saved somewhere, but I'm not sure I can access it quickly.
But don't you think that's one where people would sort of naturally think,
sure, it gets to crisis
pretty quick. You're bad if you don't score
right
from first and goal, because you're not going to score, you know, that often.
Right.
You know what? Another one like that for me is third downs, right? If you have a game where you don't convert on third downs a couple times, you know where they ranked last year in the NFL in third down percentage?
One first. Of the very best. Yeah, okay.
First.
The best. Yeah.
So when you're out tonight at baseball practice, don't let anybody tell you that the Bills aren't good on third down either. They were almost 50%.
Baseball practice.
Okay. They were the best in the NFL last year on third down, 49.8%. Half the time. I don't know. What was happening right now? School?
There could be baseball practice. I don't know. I just, you know.
Why would there be? Why did I pick baseball? Baseball's over.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, that's why I said that.
Yeah. Well, I didn't really need to pick
baseball.
I don't know.
It's football practice.
Football practice.
Soccer going on?
Soccer practice, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Girls tennis.
All right.
But not boys. Boys are in the spring.
Hmm.
At least that's how it was in my day.
I never knew that.
Girls are in the fall, boys are in the spring. You only have one set of courts. Got to break it up.
All right.
I think that's probably what that is. It's just a guess. Sal coming up at 4. Still waiting on Bulldog's report from last night's fantasy draft. We hope to have it here before too long. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog will be with you Sunday post-game here on WGR and the Bills Football Network. Neither's perfect, right? Either Bills Football Network, because you know it's football, or Bills Radio Network, because you kind of know it's radio. Neither's perfect. I kind of go back and forth in my head and have for probably 40 years when I was a listener and then as a host. Which should it be? Bills Radio Network? Yeah.
Yes.
Bills Football Network is, that doesn't make sense.
Right, because the Bills Football Network could be what they call the preseason TV coverage. Because, I mean, it's Bills Football.
Football loves to tell network. You that it's football.
So I think Bills Radio Network works better because is actually the radio network of the Bills.
All right. Let's make sure to do that.
Okay.
Starting on Sunday. If we didn't do it already.
All right. I'm on it.
Sal coming up at 4. There was practice today. News on captains. One day closer to the opener. And the season opener tomorrow night. Ravens Chiefs. Here's Dave with us. Hello, Dave.
Hi, guys. Big fan of the show.
Thanks.
So I've got my third and final fantasy draft tonight. It's a 16-team Superflex League.
Oof.
I have the 16th pick, of course, which I like. But here's what scares me. Typically, we have 9 quarterbacks going, 3 running backs, 3 receivers, no tight ends before the 16th pick. I'm scared to not take a quarterback because I've got to wait another 30 picks to get one.
You should be.
What do you think? What do you think?
This is tough.
So this isn't a snake, though? You don't go back-to-back at 16?
Well, we will. Yeah, I'm back-to-back.
Okay, yep. Okay. So, I'm sorry. The way you said that, I got the impression that you wouldn't have 2 picks there. So, anyway.
Yeah, sir.
I think I'm taking 1, for sure. And
I
would prefer not to, but 16 is tough. Like, I don't do any of that. 16, everybody could just sort of get nervous, and then you're on Minshew. I mean, that's
exactly. But this is the 10th quarterback taken last year, Daniel Jones.
You can do better than that.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, I hope so. Dak Prescott was also there, so
I think Daniels, Caleb Williams, even Murray. Sometimes, I think you would be able to get one of those 3, which I'd be fine with. Jordan Love.
Yeah.
I'd be fine with one of those guys, and then I don't know, Tyreek Hill, something like that. Tua, you could go maybe Tua, Tyreek, maybe?
I'd take that.
Tua, Waddle? Too early for Waddle.
Probably too early for Waddle. Listen to me.
I think it's the right move, though. I think I need to.
Listen, I'm not as experienced as Mike, but there's no way if I were waiting until 16 and then, on the swing back, waiting all that time to. No, you're gonna get really stuck.
So, Dave, last night, we are 10 teams. In Paul Hamilton's league. So, and I picked 3rd. So I was 3, 18, and 23, right?
Mm-hmm.
I went Breece Hall, just a gut feeling over McCaffrey. I'm feeling like, this is the last draft. So I went Breece Hall, running back, and then Murray Harrison.
Question.
That worked out.
I like that.
Yeah, that worked out. And then McBride.
Is it a super flex?
Yes. Man, 16 teams. Hats off to you and your buddies.
That's that's
you can only imagine what the waiver wire looks like every week.
Holy cow. Yeah, it's a long night, too.
I would never make it through the draft. Like there was a point last night in our thing, the way my screen was working with the ESPN app, which is what we use for the league, at one point, I don't know, three quarters of the way through, I don't know where we were, but we still needed a kicker, I think, or a defense, one or the other. Or maybe even both. And then there were like 3 spots below there. And I'm like, oh, we're almost done. And then my son like moved the screen. I'm like, oh, there's like 8 more picks after that. Oh, my God, kill me.
18 rounds.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Right. One of the interesting things about this draft is we do the keepers after the 8th round. So you can take chances on guys in the late rounds so you can use them next year. And have a.
Did any quarterbacks get protected?
Well, I had, a couple did. Murray actually did.
Okay. Well, that changes the equation a little bit.
Right? I had the Tennessee quarterback, who I can't remember his name right now, with my 16th pick, who I dumped at some point for no reason at all.
Hmm.
So I lost that. I would have been feeling a lot better about that if I had him.
I guess. Well, good luck, Dave. I mean, 16 teams is hardcore. I respect it. I'm not in any 16. I'm in a couple of 14s. 14's big enough.
I can barely make it through 10.
Guillotine is often 16.
Yeah.
Because you cut 1 per week. Could even be more. But not in any of those either. Last night was good. Everybody seemed to enjoy it, except now maybe not yourself. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm fine. We drafted Aaron Rodgers.
Well, you couldn't get Watson?
Listen, I don't like Rodgers, but those are not close to the same.
I just met people you hate.
Yeah, okay. No.
Which I couldn't get any Falcons?
Right. No, I got Kyle Pitts.
Oh, boy.
Woo!
Not again.
Yeah, but Rodgers, it felt to me there was this moment. We still needed a second quarterback. We waited, and looking at the available quarterbacks, I feel like Brandon Bean. Like, the pick just made itself. I mean, I look at the board. We had to take him.
That's what everybody says now.
And already this morning, I'm like, ESPN's estimating Sam Darnold to have one more point than Rodgers, and it is San Francisco, but I feel like you draft Aaron Rodgers on your team, he's got to play. I know it's fantasy. It doesn't really matter, but that's what it feels like to me. If you're going to draft him, you got to play him.
You want to feel better?
Sure. I'm not going to lie. I did it partially so I could complain about having Rodgers on my team.
Rodgers' record last 10 Monday night starts. They play Monday night at San Francisco.
Does last season count?
Yes.
Okay. 9-1.
10-0.
Oh, wow. All right.
Last season does count. The Jets won. He has won his last 10 Monday night football starts. Last loss was 11 years ago. There you go. Keep that in mind for picks. He loves Monday night. Even when he tears his Achilles, it still works out.
Couldn't be less relevant. He's on a new team with a repaired Achilles tendon, and he's playing the San Francisco 49ers on the road. Very different.
His all-time record is 13-6, by the way, on Monday nights.
Thank you for that.
Sal Capaccio after sports here on WGR.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.